Good. Excellent. So I just want to welcome everybody. It's so good to see. I recognize some of the names. Some of you I've met and some of you I've communicated with. So it's beautiful to have you here tonight. And I wanted to kind of do a brief overview of the RCC and what it's about, what it means, a few logistical or technical details. And then really have a lot of time for questions because we really want to be responsive to the kinds of things that come up for you as you consider the RCC. So to start from a big picture, I like to go way out, right? What is the RCC ultimately all about? Well, it's all about you entering into a deep, personal, intimate, and loving relationship with the three persons of the Trinity and Our Lady, especially God the Father and Mary our Mother. Especially those two, our spiritual parents. And so everything in the RCC is oriented toward that goal. Now, that doesn't distinguish us from so many other Catholic organizations, right? There's lots of other organizations that do this, organizations that will teach you to pray or that do catechesis or that, are ministries of different kinds. The difference for us is in the how. How do we get there? And what are we focusing on? And in the Brazilian Catholics community, in the RCC, what we're really focused on is human formation. We're really focused on the natural realm. And the reason for that is that what I've found, what Marian's found, what so many of us have found, is that so many spiritual problems really are spiritual consequences of human formation issues. And so what we're doing, our little corner of the vineyard, if you will, is looking at what happens in our human formation that keeps us from being able to love God, that keeps us from being able to love our neighbor, to carry out those two great commandments. Because we don't think it's all spiritual problems. We don't think it's all vice. We don't think it's all sin. We think that there are things that go on in the natural level that keep us from that. And so, what are those things? Well, the first one, the immediate one, is because we don't love ourselves in an ordered way. St. Thomas Aquinas is very clear. If you do not love yourself in an ordered way, you're going to compromise your capacity to love your neighbor and to love God. In other words, that's got to come first, the ordered self-love. And what keeps us from ordered self-love is this lack of integration, this fragmentation that happens when we experience trauma, when we experience attachment injuries, relational wounds, and so forth. So when we are working on this human formation, we are focusing on this interior integration. We're focusing on being able to grow in our human formation, so that we can make a gift of ourselves, and so that we feel like we are worthy of being given as a gift. If you don't value yourself, if you don't think you're worth anything, then you don't have much to give. So that's kind of the big overarching focus of what we do. We don't have a particular spirituality. Apart from just being Catholics, we're not Franciscan or charismatic or Benedictine. We're not Carmelite or, we don't have a particular spirituality because we're doing the human formation arithmetic to help do the spiritual algebra or the spiritual trigonometry or the spiritual statistics or whatever branch of mathematics, which are sort of like the different spiritualities. They all depend on arithmetic. Just like the church has taught that all formation, including spiritual formation, depends on human formation. And so that's our little corner of the vineyard. It's not super well populated. We don't have a lot of competition. There's not lots of people clamoring to get into this space. There are others, and actually, I'll be writing a resource, a weekly reflection on organizations that are resources. I wrote one today that came out that was about different books and articles and so forth on human formation. There are other ones that we are connected with, but it's not a crowded space. So that's what kind of makes us unique. And we do this through an understanding of the multiplicity and the unity of the human person, that we're not just one, but we're also multiple in the sense that we have these parts. That allows us to love ourselves. If we were just one single homogenous, you know, being, there wouldn't be any way we could love ourselves. And that reflects the image of God. God is also a unity and a multiplicity, one God in three persons. He doesn't have parts like we do, but there's still a unity and a multiplicity there. And so we're really on the cutting edge. We're really on the pioneering, leading edge of what does that mean for us to love ourselves in an ordered way. Thomas Aquinas says that the love that we have for ourselves is the root and form. This is the way Anthony Flood translates it. It's the root and form of our love for others. And so things that we don't tolerate within ourselves, things that we reject within ourselves, things that we condemn within ourselves, we're not going to tolerate in other people. And so we are really kind of working this human formation. So this is not a complete thing. If people came in and said, no, really, this is my spirituality, we'd be like, no. You got to, you know, that's a separate thing. It's a related thing, but it's different than what we do. We're not spiritual directors. We're not pastoral counselors. We're not spiritual coaches. We're not confessors. We're not clergy. We don't do any of that. We're doing the pre-work for that. That's why our patron is St. John the Baptist, because he prepared the way for the Lord. So we are about preparing ourselves, shoring up that natural foundation for the spiritual life, because grace perfects nature, St. Thomas says. It's got to have that nature to perfect. Talk. I've been talking. So Marian, I want to turn it over to you, because I know I'm forgetting things, or, you know, there's other things you may have to add. So,
yeah. Thank you. Well, and maybe kind of a good thing to add, because I think most people know you from the podcast, that they probably don't know me.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I should introduce you.
You know.
Marian is the lead. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I don't take it personally. My parts aren't upset.
Marian is... So Marian is the lead navigator in the RCC. She really handles the day-to-day operations, a lot of what happens behind the scenes in the RCC is really her bailiwick, her wheelhouse. I do a lot of content creation, podcasts, you know, the weekly reflections, some programming and so forth, but Marian really has grabbed onto the inner workings of the RCC. So she's really the expert when it comes to that stuff. So that's a little bit about how we're divided. It didn't start out that way, because
you were all by yourself.
But now she's really taken the helm and is doing a fantastic job with that.
And just for reference, I'm a level 2 IFS therapist in the state of West Virginia. I also am a professor at Divine Mercy University, teaching helping skills for spiritual directors, not a spiritual director, though. We'll make that clarification, although there's a little bit of kind of crossover in some of those fields. One of the things that strikes me about this as we were talking, it's that in this environment, we take the best that the human sciences have to offer and be able to bring it into a place where it can impact more of our life. I can personally speak for how transformative it has been since I started doing my own IFS work. And then when I kind of came on board and I don't know, before I came on board a little bit both, but started bringing in the Catholic anthropology, and it was like, oh, okay. You know, not perfection, but growth, to be able to see that, you know, there's something changing here. And the more I have connected with the community, which I will say is a huge benefit of belonging, it's to know that you're not alone doing this. You know, you're going to have some moments that are going to feel uncomfortable, and there's other people that are going to have that same level of uncomfortableness that comes with growth. So you have companions to work with. You probably start off with 2 other people that you can kind of connect with more frequently. And then you have your company. And then you have your cohort, which is kind of like the bigger group of everybody that comes in at the same time. And then there's the whole community, and it continues to grow and to nurture itself in a way. Yeah. So I'll turn it back over to you.
Yeah. So none of what we do is therapy. I want to be really clear about mm-hmm. that. We don't provide any clinical services in the RCC, but we are hearing from our members that there is just a depth and many of our companies and many of the relationships that form that that really is transformative. We don't believe that therapy has a monopoly on human formation. In fact, therapy is really corrective. It goes in after a pathology, and we are really more of a growth oriented. We're looking at how do we grow? You know, how do we develop? So there's a different focus in the work that we do in human formation in the RCC. I kind of want to just take a break. We're going to get into the nitty gritty of how it actually works and what it actually looks like. But is there any questions just about the sort of big picture stuff that that Marian and I have been talking about? The, you know, the goals or what we're oriented toward or any of that? Anything big picture before we move on? And if you want to put it in the chat, if you're like, I have parts that don't want to speak up, put it in the chat. We'll read it. You can send it to just me or to just Marian. We'll do that. Yeah, Susie.
Okay, I'll ask my question. So just, you know, I'm a little bit new to the parts thing, but I'm just wondering, you know, how would I know if I have not been in therapy, but... Mm-hmm. So how would I know? Am I ready for this group work, or do I need therapy?
So, you know, very Catholic in the end, right? It can be both, right? Therapy and the RCC. That's actually very common. In discerning about joining the RCC, there are a couple of really valuable indicators. One is, do you resonate with the experiential exercises in the podcast? You know, if you've listened to those experiential exercises and you find that you're really connecting with those and they're moving you and that makes a difference to you, that's a good sign. I also put up a 19-minute experiential exercise on discerning whether to apply to the RCC. And the third thing that I would say, because I added another one, is that the whole application process is part of the discernment. You know, that we actually take several weeks in the discernment, you know? So the question is really, do I discern about applying or not? You know, that's really the question, because in that applying, you know, we'll do the initial measures kits, which we'll talk about. I mean, that'll generate like a 6-page document that lays out, you know, at least how we're speculating about somewhere between 9 and 15 of your parts and how those parts are interacting. And so some people are like, you know, when they see that, they're like sold. They're like, okay, I get it. This makes so much sense to me. You know, I feel like there's a resonance there. So it really becomes, I think, fairly clear throughout that process whether the RCC, I should put it, is a good fit for a particular individual. If in the IMK, in that process, if we detect, you know, because there's some screening measures in there. If we detect that somebody might really need some additional help, some personal accompaniment, you know, we'll make a recommendation for therapy or counseling, or maybe a coach, you know, or somebody that can walk with you on a much more one-to-one level than we're able to do, you know, from a professional staffing perspective within the RCC. So. Is that helpful, Susie? Is that kind of get? Yeah. Okay, great. Well, Marian, you want to talk a little bit about like what it looks like, you know, time, energy, you know, how the units are kind of set up. Just kind of give us an overview of like how that all looks. Like if you were a fly on the wall in the RCC, what would you see, kind of a thing?
Yeah. So when you are brought into the RCC, we use a platform called the Mighty Network, and you'll see there's a lot of different groups, and it takes a little getting used to figuring out where you need to be and where you don't want to be and where's what you want, but it works out. And that starts that big broad community. Each cohort that comes in is named after a patron saint. If you are joining in this next one, it would be Saint Edward. And that's kind of your group of people that are all starting at the same place you are. Year one is 44 lessons or weekly meetings. And a lesson looks like a short 15 to 20 minute didactic piece with a little bit of discussion, and then an experiential exercise with an opportunity for sharing, and then a closing. In the past, our groups have been 75 minutes, but now that we're into starting our fifth cohort, what we're really seeing is that the companies are connecting so well that there's a need for just a little bit more time. So we're expanding that out to 90 minutes, so just an hour and a half. That's a weekly meeting. We are sensitive to holy days and all that sort of stuff. We try to really pay attention to that as much as possible, so people aren't saying, well, I can't go to mass because it's the Feast of the Ascension and I've got my group. You know, we definitely don't want to put you in that situation. So you have a weekly group. That's 44 weeks, right?
Yep. And, 44 out of 52, there's 8 weeks we take off.
Right. Yeah. So there's 8 weeks in the year that we take off. And then within that, you're going to have a company that's formed. Companies are about 9 people to start with. And those will be the people that you meet with each week. Within that company, we break it down smaller. You'll have companions, which I kind of mentioned earlier. You'll have 2 other people that you can connect with. We call them daily check-ins. And I guess I want to throw it out there because sometimes people feel like, oh my gosh, I can't check in with 2 other people every day. This doesn't have to be a big check-in. It can be as simple as, Nyssa, I did my parts check-in today.
Yeah, it's an accountability thing.
Right.
It's not about sharing everything that's come up. We don't ever force disclosure or, because we don't want overexposure. Yeah. The function of that check-in is twofold. One, so that, we're accountable to, are we working our human formation plan? And the second is it helps us to track if somebody's fallen through the cracks. If we're not hearing from somebody in a day or two or three, then we know that, hey, one of our staff members can follow up just to see if that person's all right, or if there's a situation or something like that. So it's a way that we kind of, care for each other, right.
And then once a week, we do ask you to do a slightly longer little check-in. They kind of vary in time, typically not more than about 20 minutes. Again, like the companies, it's just a little smaller group, because some of us have parts that are really comfortable in very large settings and situations, and others of us are more introverted parts and would rather a smaller group setting, right? So this kind of meets both of those needs. And the friendships that grow out of them are so strong in so many cases. It's beautiful to see that. Julie put a question out there. I'll repeat it really quickly. We start with a prayer. There's a 15 to 20 minute didactic lesson on whatever topic is going to be happening that week. To start off with, the talks will be laying the foundation for understanding this parts language that we're kind of throwing you into headlong right now. Start kind of making sense of, okay, what does that look like in my life? We talk managers, we talk firefighters and exiles, and it's like, okay, give me an example, right? And so that's what you'll get to see. After the didactic, there's a little bit of time for sharing. What came up for you? What did you notice as you were listening to that? Then there is an experiential exercise. If you've listened to the podcast, it's very much like some of the drop-in exercises or experientials that Dr. Peter has done. but it's focused on whatever the topic is that week. So we might be, you know, to start off with focusing on a manager part in us and getting to know that part. And then there'll be a little bit more sharing and then kind of a wrap up. And as Dr. Peter has said before, it's so important to say that the sharing is only what you're comfortable with. The idea of this is really creating a safe container where your parts that need to be spoken for or want to be spoken for can, and also a safe enough place that if my parts say I don't want to talk about this, they don't have to.
Right.
And it's okay on both sides. So, yeah.
And I would just add that, because sometimes this is a question, these talks are pre-recorded. And so they're played in the company meetings. I'm not going to actually be there in person. Yeah, we don't have staff that staff these. That's part of the way that we're able to keep the costs low. And so the other benefit of that is if you can't make a company meeting, you still have the benefit of being able to connect in with those, with all the resources. You can listen to the interconnections talk, which is that conceptual piece, that didactic, and then the experiential exercises. And all those experiential exercises remain available to you whenever you want to access them, as long as you're in the RCC. And so, so you can play those. And then there's also, every week there's bonus materials. So these are extra things. Like if you want to go into this in greater depth, there's extra reading, extra videos. There's always at least one bonus experiential exercise. So if you're like saying, I don't really know how to check in with my parts, we're going to provide you the kinds of materials to that if you just push play and kind of engage with, you know, what that experiential exercise is, you're going to be checking in with your parts. We don't expect that you have any knowledge of IFS or internal family systems or parts approaches when you come in, except that you've heard enough about it that it sounds interesting and, you know, that you'd like to learn more. Okay.
Linda asks, the weekly meetings are not recorded. That's for your privacy.
Right. They're not recorded.
They're not recorded. And while Dr. Peter and I are not in sessions, we don't have staff. At the first week or two, we try to have a staff member present in the group. We are available. I give out my cell phone number because I tell people that's the fastest way to reach me because I'm often with clients during the day. But send me a text message, ask a question. If you're struggling, feeling like you're sorting it out, again, not going to do therapy, but I'll sit with you for a few minutes and say, okay, let's see if we can sort out what's going in the part on with your part so you can figure out how to bring that about into what you're working on in your group.
Let's talk about money. We handle these questions head on. We don't avoid anything having to do with money. The cost of this is $249 to apply. And that covers the costs for us to be able to do the initial measures kits, which take about 2 hours to complete. There's, I believe, 16 measures total that we ask you to complete. And then there's a lot of staff time that goes into generating your initial measures kit report. This is not psychological assessment, but it is a way that we begin to think about what your inner system might look like. Who are the major players? How do they interact? So we usually identify between 2 and 5 exiled parts, between 3 and 6 managers, and somewhere between 2 and 4, maybe 5 firefighters. And then we also have a section where we discuss how we see those parts interacting, what kind of polarizations are happening, what kind of alignments are happening. And we talk about where we see your strengths and where we see some potential challenges. We'll also make recommendations. There's basically 3 major recommendations. One, to admit to the RTC, to the RCC to invite you without any preconditions. The second is to offer admission conditionally. Sometimes we say we think that you could do well in the RCC, but we're going to ask you to be in therapy because we're sensing that there's a certain level of distress or some other thing that seems like that would be important. And then the third is where we say, we don't think it's a good fit for you right now. We don't think the RCC is a good fit for you, right? Those are the three options. Then after that, so that would be like, if you were coming to the next cohort, that would happen in June. And then
it might be worth mentioning for the ladies, the way you'll get these reports is in a 15-minute meeting with me. And for the gentlemen, right, you'll be meeting with Dr. Peter.
Right. You'll get a copy of the report. And then we do a 15-minute feedback session where you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. Like, some people really want to go into their IMK reports with me. And others, they're really more interested in finding out more and, you know, kind of going further into discernment about the RCC. So they're like, yeah, I want to ask you these questions because I have this concern I have about belonging and how does that work and what happens if, you know, X or Y or Z happens. So some people have questions about internal family systems or, you know, some anthropological issues. Some people are, you know, they want to ask questions about like, how is this Catholic or, you know, whatever is most important to you, we can talk about during that time. Then once the programming starts, and so for this incoming cohort, the St. Edward the Confessor cohort, our fifth cohort, which is onboarding in, and we're accepting new applications in June, it'll be the week of September 17th that actually launches with the programming. So in September, the billing is $99 a month. So it would be $99 a month for the 12 months plus the $249, which is roughly $1,250, is a little less than that. But the thing is that we never turn somebody away from the RCC because of financial need. So if there is a financial need, let us know, and we will figure out a way to make it doable. We've never turned somebody away from the RCC because of financial reasons. So we want, that's a part of our social justice, kind of our beliefs about social justice. We place a premium on safety, as Marian was saying. We really want to make sure that that there is a safe and a sense of felt protection. And so to that end, we haven't had a problem with this really ever, but we don't engage in flame wars. We don't get into political discussions. We don't deride each other or anybody else. The focus is not on the great big external world, and, you know, and there's plenty of conflict and clickbait and controversy out there. We are really focused on doing our own inner homework. You know, we're really focused on doing our own inner work. And so that stuff is not something that we have actually had to police very much. We have 150 in the RCC right now. We don't have issues like really with that. So there's a sense of that. We also don't bring in things that are off topic, you know? So if it's not relevant to human formation and what we're doing, even though it's great, and you found this really lovely Catholic video of cats, and you just wanted to share it, we don't, you know, it's not something that we typically, you know, would have happen, because we do want to stay, faithful to what our mission and our calling is and what our vision is. So, I'm trying to think.
And Mark asked a question. I like his forward thinking about, is there a second year component? Yes, there is. We call it the Formation Fellowship. And each kind of unit, we use a different piece of material as kind of our basis for the work and taking it kind of into a little deeper place. This last unit, we've been using Searching for and Maintaining Peace by Father Jacques Philippe. And as we're moving forward, we're going to begin using the Handbook of Human Formation by Cameron Thompson. So yeah, there definitely is a second year.
Yeah, we want this to be a place where people can have the benefit of ongoing relationships and connections for a long time, mm-hmm. You know, and we have found that those relationships are developing, you know, and connections are happening, and that's been beautiful. So there is a little bit of a difference in year two or in the Formation Fellowship, in that we do tend to get a little bit more into some spiritual topics in year two and in the formation fellowship. But we're bringing then this parts perspective in. The idea is that you've done some human formation work in year one. You know, that doesn't mean you understood everything. We do a lot of review in the formation fellowship. So we are going back in a variety of ways to what you learned in year one, because there's no way the first time through that everybody is going to, you know, the people are going to be able to take in everything. You know, there's lots of new things to learn. So,
you know, one other thing we haven't talked about, just because it's new to this cohort, this will be the first time that we are trying to put together a company of people that are specifically therapists. So psychologists, counselors, and social workers. So that would be a separate community within the RCC, just to provide a little bit of space for them to do some work. And we're also looking at having a company of spiritual directors. So if either one of those fits for you as you're kind of going through the process, let us know. And if you think that's something you'd like to be a part of.
But there's no pressure either. If you're like, I don't want to be in there with any other therapists, I just want to be in there with normal people, you know, or whatever, you don't have to opt in. And we had a question about the report. So this is referencing the IMK report, is created based on us filling out a questionnaire. Yes. 16 short questionnaires. Well, actually 14 short questionnaires and 2 long questionnaires. And how in depth does it go, and what is involved in that? Well, it's about 2 hours. Most of it is multiple choice. There is one, or ratings, you know. So for example, there's an anxiety screen in there, and it'll ask you things like, in the last week, you know, how anxious have you felt? You know, 0, not at all anxious, you know, 4, moderately anxious, 7, highly anxious. So there's a lot of questions like that. And then there's also some like fill in the blank questions, like complete the sentence questions. And then there's a demographics questionnaire, but almost all of it is multiple choice, you know, so. And how in depth does it go? Well, we're not doing a psychological evaluation here, remember. We are trying to gather the kinds of information to help us understand how you're, you know, what's going on with your parts and what's going on inside. So this is a little different than what we typically do in terms of discovering parts. This is really, the focus of this is really about being able to give you an idea of how we think about parts and a starting point for you to consider your own system. My hope is that 6 months, 10 months into the first year of the RCC, that you have connected with your parts, and that personal connection with your parts is eclipsing what's in the IMK. That, in other words, you will know your parts better than anything that would be in the IMK. But for some people, that really is a really valuable jumpstart. Which is why we do that. It seems to really accelerate the way that people can engage with some of the material. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a connection, so that when we're using this parts language, you have kind of an example of something in your life of like, oh, okay, that might be what I'm looking for.
Right.
Or, you know, so you've got a little bit of help.
But we want to be really clear that when we give you this IMK report, that we're not saying this is who you are. This is we've now defined your being, right? That's not at all the intention of it. We hold it very lightly. It's very speculative. And there are samples of an IMK report for a man and a woman on our landing page. So you can actually just click on those and download them. They come as PDFs, and you can see what they look like. So if you go to soulsandhearts.com/RCC, or if you just Google Resilient Catholics Community, you'll see our landing page come up. Scroll down a little bit and you'll see those links. Those are just made up ones, you know, as examples. They aren't actual reports from any live person. They're composites. So. How about just opening it up for questions? Anything you guys would like to ask? You can do that by just unmuting yourselves and asking, raising a hand, or you can send something to us in the chat. So, total amount of time, sometimes people ask that. It's about 3 hours a week. You've got the hour and a half weekly meeting. You've got the check-in with your companion, which is can be on, like, most of the time it's like 3 minutes. It doesn't have to be very long. We are going to ask that you check in with your parts in the morning check-in, in the afternoon, or in the morning check-in and evening check-in, 3 to 5 minutes. And then as you get a little further into the program, we'll start talking about parts sessions, which are more like 8 minutes, you know, and we're going to ask you to do more like 12 minutes. We'll ask you to be doing at least 3 of those a week. So if you start adding all that up, plus the 10 to 20 minutes that you're talking with your companions once a week outside the meeting, it's about 3 hours. Yeah. If you can't make a meeting, we understand, you know, and so there's not a problem. The meetings are not recorded, but all the talks are. So you can get the content, but you won't get the, you know, what happened in the discussion and in the sharing time with your companions and your company members. But you can go back and grab the material. And of course, everything is summarized on a resource sheet for that week. So everything is like available on one sheet. We do ask that each company have a link and a co-link, and they are the ones that are responsible for helping to play the audios, you know, and to do a few little connecting things with us, like giving us attendance sheets to our staff and so forth. But they're not facilitators, or they're not group leaders.
We do have a policy of confidentiality. What happens in your group stays in your group.
Yep.
If something comes out to the larger group, make sure that you're speaking for your experience, not somebody else's, just as a safety. Like if you wanted to share something about something that was coming up with a part with you in the larger community, that's great, but just don't compare it to somebody else that was in the community. It really is important to have that safe space.
We really haven't had issues with that, you know, in the other 4 cohorts.
Some of it, I feel like if we just say it, it's that reminder,
right?
Of yeah, and then we don't get into problems,
right? And so we've answered every question. Marriott, this is amazing. There are no other, just an invitation.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, see, now they're coming out. Now they're coming. See, all you have to do is put it out that way. Kathy, what have you got for us?
I was just thinking about like the total program. And if you have a spiritual director, like I do, is that helpful? Are there ways that I can communicate this to her so that she knows what I'm getting into, or what I'm thinking about? Is there ways that she can support me? Say that you were, say a person was accepted into the program. Is there ways that he or she can support you? I'm just wondering about how spiritual direction can become a support for this.
Yeah, it's a great place to kind of jump in, because I like to think, and this is a, you know, a really broad lesson in a nutshell, but I like to think about the things that happen to our parts and that cause them to take on these other things. It's normally the sins that have been committed by us or against us, somehow in some connection to that. And so when we realize that there's a part that's struggling with a particular sin, or even on the other side, not being able to do something, like I've got a part that, you know, and I'm saying as an example, I've got a part that likes to procrastinate when it comes to doing prayer or something like that, then it can come back into that with your spiritual director. And it gives you an opportunity to look at what's really moving, where God's really moving in that area, and vice versa. Because sometimes things will come up with your spiritual director and you'll be like, I wonder what part's leading me to do that. So yeah, it integrates really well.
I was thinking that this might make your spiritual direction discussions much deeper.
We would hope so.
Yeah.
Right? We would hope so.
I can say that as I'm teaching spiritual directors listening skills, I don't call it this, but I'm teaching them basically very similar techniques to what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just a couple of things for you, Kathy, too. Your IMK report is yours. So I've known lots of RCC members that have shared those IMK reports with their spiritual directors.
Right.
If that felt right and good to them. Or shared it with their therapist. So that's a quick way, you know, that some have decided no, and we support that too. If it doesn't feel like safe enough, you know, that's fine too. We don't, you know, there's a lot of free resources that we offer in Souls and Hearts. So spiritual directors, you know, might want to listen to a podcast or, you know, especially episode 71, which is all about what is this IFS, or episode 73, which is, you know, is internal family systems really Catholic? You know, there's a lot of weekly reflection. So there's resources that can be given to spiritual directors too, to help orient them to what this is about. And we're really careful to stay in our lane. You know, we really are about the human formation stuff. So we have no intention of getting into any kind of conflict with the spiritual direction of any of our RCC members. Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Nyssa, I saw you had a question there.
Yeah, I think it's along the same lines, just like if somebody was already in their own IFS therapy, just like how did these things play together? Is it just, I mean, my instinct is it's just kind of more practice, more just working with one's own system, and then maybe, you know, if there's a stuck place or something to bring that to therapy, or, I mean, I'm sure there's lots of ways IFS therapy and this can support each other.
Yeah, especially if the IFS therapist is not Catholic, this brings in all of that Catholic understanding of the human person. And so, yeah, I'm super excited when people do have IFS therapy, because these are really complementary approaches. What this is going to provide is the structure for really empowering your innermost self to stay with a regular plan of life, you know, and so in therapy, sometimes clients come in and they haven't checked in with their parts, you know, since the last time they were in therapy, you know, so this really provides that piece that the therapist can't give, because the therapist isn't going to be able to, you know, provide the kind of structured program. So we see it as really fitting together. And if you are in a Catholic, if you have a Catholic therapist who's not IFS focused, then this can bring in some of the part stuff. And some people have really benefited from that. They've wanted to kind of work with that. But it's really meant to support and be a complement to the therapy that our members get. And I wouldn't say the vast majority, but the majority of our members are either in therapy or they spent significant time in therapy. So if you think, oh no, I'm in therapy, that's going to make me weird. Now that'll put you in the majority of our RCC members. And there are a number of folks that started out in the RCC and they weren't in therapy, but they're like, you know what, the kinds of things I'm running into, I think it's time for me to get in therapy, you know? So we encourage that too, you know?
Well, and IFS is such a shift from some traditional therapies in that it's not really pathologizing. So sometimes we find ourselves going to therapy, not because I'm really having a problem or I've got some deep trauma I want to process, but more just because I'm feeling stuck and not growing where I want to go. And so it gives an opportunity to maybe uncover some of that and take it a little further too.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Susie, did I see your hand?
I thought I saw a hand, so.
Yeah, my question was, I just going back to the weekly meetings. So I was trying to get all the different names of the groups together, but the weekly meeting that check-in is, did you say it's going to be about 9 people in the, whatever that's called, the
company.
The company. So there's about 9 people in the company, but then the cohort might be 50 people. And then your whole group is 150 people, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there's basically four C's. The smallest is your companions, which are three. And then next up is the company. And we took that from the Lord of the Rings, right? That you're, we're on this pilgrimage. It was an adventure together. We're in a company, you know? That's where that came from. So you're in your company. And then the next one up is the cohort. And your cohort is like your class. That's the everybody that came in at the same time you did. And then there's the community. The RCC as a whole is the community. So kind of four levels of connection within the community. Yeah.
Very helpful. Thank you.
And I see a question. Companies are women, companies for women and companies for men are separate.
Yeah. We don't mix the sexes.
Yeah.
That's a safety thing. And that's true also for the therapist company. So if there's a therapist company, it's going to be all women or all men. Same thing with the spiritual directors, all women or all men.
And I'm going to throw a question to you, Dr. Peter, that someone asked, who's a good fit for the RCC or not?
So, yeah. So we have some guidance on this on our website, but I want to go over that really, really, because that's a really important question. You have to be Catholic, all right, first of all, to get into the RCC. We've had a number of people request that said that what you're doing is really cool, but I'm like almost Catholic because I'm Anglican or I'm Orthodox or whatever. No, you got to be Catholic. We've had some that are like, I'm a catechumenate. I'm going to be joining the church in, 4 months. We're like, you got to wait. You're not there yet, you know? So that's a safety thing. Because not only do you have to be Catholic, but you can't be like, yeah, I went to Catholic school and I was baptized. And no. It's got to be like, you've got to believe in what the church teaches. We don't want any conflict around women priests or, any of the teachings of the church. So that's the first thing. That's the first requirement. Second is that we do ask that people kind of resonate with a parts approach to understanding the human person. If that doesn't float your boat, if what you're really looking for is just some other Catholics to hang out with regularly, that's not going to work. We can't have folks that are in an acute crisis that are coming in with the hope that the community will solve that crisis. Okay, so that's another thing. We're looking for a certain level of stability. We also require like some technological ability. We have had some people that couldn't do the RCC because they couldn't master Zoom. If you can't master Zoom, we're limited on what we can do with that. So, there are some things that we look at in the IMK reports. So some people say, oh, am I going to pass the test? And usually we'll say something like, well, it's not really like a pass-fail thing, but there is a screening element to it. Again, and that's for safety. If we see something that, we're concerned about on that, we're going to let you know. And that's, again, to protect the sense of safety and integrity within the community. If you cannot make a regular meeting time, that's going to be another issue. We're going to be asking for around 85% attendance, 85 to 90% attendance. And again, we understand if people can't make it because of health reasons or whatever, we look at those at a case-by-case basis. And again, people can kind of stay up on some of it if it's a temporary thing. We've had questions like, hey, some of our women will say, I'm pregnant, I'm expecting to give birth within the next, within the next 3 months. That's okay. As long as there's a reasonable expectation that, yeah, you take some time off, for the care of the baby and so forth, but that, we would like you to be able to be able to maintain that. We have had people switch companies if they needed to go to a different time. We accommodate that. We had a question here, what are the dates and times of the meeting times? It's when you can meet. We have Patty Ellenberger, who is our office manager and a logistical and scheduling wizard, we're going to send you as part of the onboarding process, a scheduling app, and you put in all the times that you can meet. And then she takes all of that and she forms companies. And it's really kind of magical. I try to stay a certain distance away from it because some of it kind of amazes me how she does that and how it all works out. And it kind of creeps me out a little bit about how well she does that. So I don't know. And I don't want to ruin it. So I don't want to get too close. But yeah, we take the times that you're available and we form companies based off of who can be together. We do a quick pass through the waiting list if we're trying to fill out a company too. So there is a second wave that we do. If we have a company with seven in it or six, and we'll ask the waiting list or the interest list if anybody there can fill out the company. So sometimes we do that a little later on in the process. That would be after the initial application, so that we don't have companies going in really light, you know, with five people or six people. So the dates and times, but it's a regular time. It's, you know, we've got one company of women that meets on Sundays at 3:30, you know, and we've got companies that meet all over the clock, because we're international. We have people from, you know, from all over
Croatia.
The
world. I know, yeah, there's
Croatia, we've Australia. Singapore, Australia, you know, all over the place, Ireland, you know, so. And a lot of Canadians, but yeah, so it's, you know, we're really open about how we schedule that stuff. So, and generally we have really good ways of getting folks in, especially as we get bigger. You know, it's gotten easier. When you had fewer people, it was harder to get everybody into companies, and especially for the men, you know, there were some times where we had guys that couldn't make any of the company meeting times, you know, but now we're getting bigger numbers. We're getting a lot more interest, and a lot of it's word of mouth, you know, although some came through the podcast, and we had a big surge of people that came in to the Souls and Hearts, that signed up for Souls and Hearts after the Restore the Glory podcast. So some people really heard about us there. The guest episode that I did with them, they're really gracious, and it was a fantastic conversation. Really enjoyed that. So the word is kind of getting out now.
Monica asked how we chose Saint Edward the Confessor for the name of the cohort. I'll say it was a really technical way of looking at it. No. Each of the cohorts has began with the next letter of the alphabet. And so I kept going back. I need a saint that starts with E. And that name kept coming up. I looked through list of saints that whose name began with E, and this was the name that kept coming up. And so here we go.
Yep. So we have the St. Augustine cohort, the St. Bernard cohort, the St. Clair cohort, the St. Dimphna cohort, and then now the St. Edward the Confessor cohort. So.
Kind of like the hurricanes.
Yeah, kind of like the hurricanes.
Yeah, kind of like the hurricanes. Yeah.
What is the average age of the RCC community? This is coming from Andrew. Is age a factor you consider in forming companies? And have you heard that having peers in terms of age or not in your company impact one's experience with the RCC? So it depends. It depends on like how many choices we have. You know, I don't think it's going to happen this time, but earlier in St. Bernard cohort, for example, there was one men's company. And so if you got, you know, that you were just there with that, you know, with those guys, you know, and so they're ranged in age. We do consider age when we do the companion matching. So those trios, we do consider age with that. We also consider the IMK for that. You know, we try not to match somebody that might have a lot of dominant characteristics with somebody that might have a lot of submissive characteristics. We're looking for what might be some possible polarizations among prominent parts, you know, that might not match very well. So we do some matching along those lines. The average age in the company is not something that we actually have data on it, but I've never analyzed it. I would say that the average age is probably in the late 40s or early 50s.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking right around 50.
Yeah, about 50. And we have a range of, we've had everybody from college students all the way up to people into their 70s.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a wide band. Right. We're probably, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I've heard from some of the college students who, you know, found themselves in a company with people that were on the little older side, that actually it turned out to be a real blessing for them, just because of the way, like, it was that comfort that felt okay, you know, like creating something familiar. So most of the time it has worked out pretty well. Yeah. I mean, I've not really heard any problems with age variance in there. I think the biggest challenge we've had is when one companion is in Timbuktu and the other one's in West Virginia, and trying to make sure that they can connect. So we do try to pay attention to that as well.
Yeah, we do take a look at like time zones sometimes, you know, because that can make a difference. Yeah. Beyond the first and second year completion, is there any ongoing cost to belonging to the RCC, and what does membership in the RCC entail? I know in a previous video, you mentioned having an in-person retreat. Are there regular in-person or online meetings? So there's only one other cost that I can think about after the initial application fee and then the $99 a month, the regular monthly subscription. And that's whatever cost there might be for the book, you know, because usually there's a book, but it's not a lot of money. We have an annual retreat. This year, it's going to be August 10th to the 13th. That's in Bloomington, Indiana, at the Mother of the Redeemer Retreat Center. Last year, Father Boniface Hicks, you know, joined us for remotely for part of it. He's going to do that again this year, and that was an amazing experience. The first one we did last year was really, really wonderful. That's where I actually met Marion, and that's where that was before you were the lead navigator. You know, that was where I was like,
that was when you offered this. Yeah,
I was like, I hope I get to hire Marion. It was really neat, Marion. So that was that we have, and that is in person. We are hoping to get to the point of doing more in-person things. And we're actually hoping to be able to eventually get to the point where there can be companies that we organize geographically. So if there's enough people coming from Chicago, enough women in Chicago that want to get together and they want to do their company meeting in person, that would be ideal, right? Mm-hmm. And we're hoping that we become at some point able to do that.
Or if your parish, you know, if you have a group of men or women in your parish that would like to do that, definitely talk to us.
Yeah.
Because the only other thing I can think of is, you know, if you decide you want to go on to do the retreat or your book for expenses.
Yeah.
So the we do the initial sign up, the intake thing or whatever you call it, and then the program itself does not start until September. Then,
right?
So you guys, September 17th. You have the summer to build the companies and all of that stuff. Yeah,
it takes time to do all of that. So we're pretty busy. We're giving the IMK feedback interviews during that time. And then Patty is. We're communicating with you. There's a bunch of hoops to jump through. There's consent forms and there's, you know, payments and there's onboarding actually into our mighty network and getting you guys kind of oriented to how that works. Cause that can seem like a little bit of a wilderness, you know, or maybe more like a city street, you know, with a lot going on, helping people get oriented to that. Getting all of the details organized, and we tried to do it under more compressed timeframes in the past. And we realized this is trial and error. And we realized we really do need some significant time to be able to make that happen. So,
yeah. Cause at this point we've got well over 100 people that are on our interest list. And so if you just stop and think, 15-minute meeting for each of those 100 people, yeah. Plus 2 to 3 hours in scoring the IMK, it becomes a pretty big block of time.
Yeah.
Monica asked if you'll be invited to join the retreat in August, assuming that we're accepted. It's a great question. My belief is that there will be openings for that. We're at this point, we're opening up to those that are in the community just to try to see how many people we get. But I believe that there will be openings that we can do that. And if we do that, because many of you will be coming and going, what's apart, we will have a separate track that will meet you where you're at instead of expecting you to jump in head high into the deep water.
We're going to be splitting at least Formation Fellowship, which are those that have completed the first year and gone on to the second year and beyond, into separate track, and then those that are in the first year cohorts. And we did have one person, one really ambitious applicant who joined us, who was at an incoming cohort, like the same position you were in. And she did that, and it worked great. She did really well in the retreat. So yeah, we're open to that. The cutoff number for a cohort has really been, we haven't ever hit it. We've always had enough capacity to take that on. Our biggest cohorts have been in the 50s. The last cohort, the one we just onboarded, St. Dimphna, had four companies of women of nine each and two companies of men of nine each. So there were 54 in that cohort. We are now training four new IMK writers. So these are folks that are going to be helping us with the first draft of the IMK. And we are clearly going to be easily able to take on 108 in the next cohort. And if the training goes well, and if these folks, you know, and I'm producing a video and so on and so forth. And we've got two very experienced IMK report writers who have done dozens and dozens and dozens of these, Lizzie Engelkamp and Elizabeth Hoffmeister. They're going to be doing a lot of the training on this, but we may be able to take on, significantly more than that. So we don't want that to be a bottleneck. It may be that the interviews become the issue then more than the reports, but if that's the case, then we may have to train just some folks to be able to do that as well, so that Marianne has some support, especially on the women's side. We tend to have about a 2-to-1 ratio of women to men, or maybe as much as 3-to-1 of women to men, which is pretty common in these kinds of things. But actually, it's impressive we have as many men as we do. So. You are welcome to reach out to us with individual questions. I have my conversation hours every Tuesday and Thursday from 4:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. My cell phone number, 317-567-9594. June 6th and 8th, I will not be available to take calls, but I should be any other Tuesday and Thursday. And
I put my cell phone number in the chat.
Yeah.
I probably should say it for the people who are listening, 304-503-3611.
Right. Any final questions before we wrap it for today? Other things that you might have been like, oh, should I ask? Should I not? I don't know. You're welcome to, Okay, well, it's been a pleasure to spend some time with you, and really glad that you're interested, enough in the RCC to give us an hour of your time. And if there are other questions, do not hesitate to reach out to us. You will continue if you definitely want to start the whole.
Process,
that's the word I'm looking for.
Or process for the Canadians.
Process, yes. You can get that. You can still join our interest list. Go to soulsandhearts.com/RCC. And there's a little blue thing that's a little form you can fill out that'll give us your email and so forth. And you'll get some information after you do that. We'll be opening it up for the actual applications on June 1st. There's a few people that Patty has reached out to because we're doing some beta testing of our new scoring system and stuff like that. So there's a few people that'll be doing it a little earlier. That's mostly to help us because we've added we've added three measures. We want to make sure that everything is tight as far as our scoring goes. And we're also going to be doing some advanced training for our new IMK writer. So we just needed a few people to go ahead to do a little earlier. So if you're wondering, maybe some of you reached out about that. That's what that was about. And we also open up every June and December. So, you know, if this isn't the right time, you know, it might be yes, but not right now. Know that we do open it up every June and every December. The December people in the next cohort, the one that starts with F that we haven't determined yet, they will start in March. They will start with the programming in March. So it's the same kind of. All right. Well, thank you for being here. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. Nice seeing everybody and spending time with you.
Yeah. All right. God bless.
Bye-bye.